640, Conway Show. And I was listening to Matt Money Smith over the weekend call that Chargers game, man. And boy, oh boy, got a little crazy there at the end. He's with us. Matt Money Smith, how you, bub?
Hey, I think we could do that every week. I think you could do that. You're not crazy anymore in a Charger game. Let's do
it. We're losing you there, Bob.
You could have said that. What?
We're losing. Well, there you are. You're back. But
right. The
call there.
I'm still sitting in the same place.
There you go. But the call was, you know, it was third down and inches, and they decided to, pass or lateral the ball backwards and somehow lost 5 yards on that deal.
Yeah, that's what's called a speed option. And the idea is to catch the defense going one way while your running back's going the other. And, you know, maybe you don't just get the 1 yard, you get, you know, a whole lot more because it's kind of like the penalty kick, right? Your hope is that the defense is guessing and that you catch them guessing wrong. You know, in the moment when I'm calling the game, my point is, you know, when you got a quarterback that's as big as your guy, Justin Herbert, just let him take the ball and push the pile forward 3 feet. That's all you got to do. And then that way you get a new set of downs and get after it. You know, I think sometimes that's what happens is you have these guys that, you know, are really bright at what they do and they spend hours and hours poring over film and looking for that small advantage. And when they see a formation or a lineup that they feel like they have that advantage over, they want to take that shot and be like, yes, there it is. That's what we've been working on, you know, for 3 months. And this is the moment where we've got to cash it in. And I get that. At the same time, I'm almost kind of like a high floor versus high ceiling guy in that moment. And it's like, just get the 3 feet and then let's figure something else out, you know, moving forward.
But then there was an amazing play, an amazing catch right towards the end of that game that had the Chargers on, I don't know, the 2 or 3 yard line. And instead of coming up and spiking the ball, they ran the ball.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's funny. I just got an email from NFL Network and they send me these like cool stat package things.
Right.
And, it was the lowest potential percentage completion of the week, right? It was the pass that was most likely to fail, you know, to be an incomplete pass.
Right.
And yet it was complete. It only had a 14% chance just based on the down and distance, and it traveled 63.5 yards through the air.
Wow.
And it's the first time since 2007 that a play of 4th and 25 or greater was converted. So it's kind of one of those.
That's incredible.
Wow. If this could change the game, what, you know, talk about the odds just not being in your favor. But unfortunately, what they did after that is that's kind of like the old, for the golfers out there, you birdie a hole and then on the very next hole, you shank a drive.
Right.
You got to drop one, you yank that one out of bounds, and like you go birdie and then triple bogey. And that's kind of what happened on that sequence there.
Right. It's like Tiger Woods, who got I think it was on the 12th hole, got a 10 on a par 3. I can do that in the Masters.
Well, I don't know, Tim. I don't know if you can get a 10. I think you might have a better, you know, if I were to have to put money on it and they were like, okay, look, here's a par 4. It's probably more suited for someone like you and, you know, for guys like you and I to be like a par 6, right? If we make 6 on that hole, par 4 of that challenging nature, that green, I don't think I'm giving you, I don't think I'm going to bet on you with 10. I'm going to probably, like, I don't think I'd feel comfortable unless I'm getting 15.
And I know
that's right.
That's right. That's great, man.
Because I don't think I'd bet on myself to get a 10 on that hole.
If you were in Vegas, and I think that was a par 3, wasn't it, that he got a 10 on?
Yeah, I think it was a B. So it was yank, plant the ball again, OB again. So it was basically like he's hitting 7.
Right, but if I was in Vegas and, you know, you could bet whether you'd make par, would make birdie, eagle, you know, whether you'd make, you know, 3 over, 5 over, 6 over. The betting line on getting a 10 on a par 3 would have to be in the neighborhood of 50,000 to 1 for you to get any action on it.
Well, yeah, I think you're probably right. But then again, you know, and you know, it's funny because I always think about those, like, man, if I just bet $1, and then you think like, oh yeah, I probably would have bet $1 on that if I saw the line. That would be the only problem about setting that line. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I can either spend this dollar I'm the cocktail waitress that's bringing me the watered-down Greyhounds and the nuts that are 2 years expired. Or right. I can just take a shot at 50K.
Right. Or this always happens, too. You make the bet, and you watch on TV. It comes in, and now you have no idea where the F the ticket is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's over.
Exactly right. I do want to say, though, it is funny with bets like that. You know, and just you presenting that scenario reminds me of how I feel every time I buy a scratcher or every time I buy the quick pick
right.
for the Powerball, right? And it's like, look, I feel like I'm a pretty logical human being, like the way I process information. And for me, it's like, well, yeah, the lottery is the biggest waste of money ever. I mean, it's one of the greatest scams the state has perpetrated against its citizens. And yet when I buy that ticket, I walk out going, let's see, I'd probably give $5 million to my parents, and then I'd probably give, you know, like $3 million each to my brothers,
right.
and then I'm going to pay off my house because I love my house. I want to move. Maybe I buy one.
I'm the same way.
And I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
I'm the exact same way.
Right?
And I always listen to, you know, there was a guy on radio that always used to say, don't buy lottery tickets, you'll never win. And then one of his listeners won $138 million. Thank God he didn't listen to him. But you know what? But
yeah,
there's a huge percentage of people who win $200 or $300 million, a huge percentage of the people that say if they had to do it all over again on the way to cash that ticket, they would rip it up and throw it out the window.
You know what? I'd like to discover that myself. That is one of those that I would like to find out what was so terribly wrong.
Right.
But I guess you get it. You know, I think I might have told you this before. I've shared this story a million times. When I was in college, one of my roommates, that was his pickup line, like at bars. You know, he would, and it was later in life. You know, he was in his 20s by then. But hey, what do you do? I won the lottery. What? Yeah, I don't do anything. I won the lottery. I won $68 million.
That's great.
That works
awesome.
Every time.
I give
it because
That's
it's
fantastic.
So. Doesn't matter how you're dressed, what car you drive.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, I just don't care. I just didn't want to change my life very much. It's sitting there. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I haven't spent much of it.
Oh,
the stories
great.
You would come up with were remarkable.
Well, two things. One is I've always promised the people I work with, if I ever win the lottery, you know, Gina and Juwan, Mondo, Angel, and Bellio, and Steve Gregory, if I ever won the lotto, I would spend the first $3 or $4 million on lawyers to keep them all away from me.
Smart. Yeah. See, that's how you don't become the person that says,
that's right.
Hey, if I had a chance to just tear that dang old thing up, I'd send it on the way back to the liquor store to cash it in. I mean, those are people that, you know, they've got sisters that are their cousins that are their, you know, all
right.
that crap. And they just, you know, they talk, oh yeah, turns out my cousin tried to kill me on the way and then poisoned my horse. I mean, that's just the stories you hear. It's like, well, yeah, that's just your life in general. It just so happened you won the lottery, and it's the same course of events that would have occurred had you not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I clearly remember going to, you know, when I was younger, when a buddy of mine was getting married, we were in Vegas for a bachelor party, and I remember going to a strip bar, and this young lady comes out, and she has a wound on her stomach that's huge. And, you know, music stops, and my buddy goes, hey, what happened there? And she goes, oh, about 3 months ago, my uncle shot me with a shotgun.
And is she around here?
And her nickname was Bullet Wounds, right? And it
okay.
still is today. I mean, if you say, hey, I was Bullet Wounds. Oh, yeah, the chick from Vegas. Yeah, I remember her. Hey, can you stay with us? We've got to talk about the Broncos and the NFL and what they're going to do with the Steelers game tomorrow.
Of course.
Why Big dog with you.
Why
all right, Matt Money Smith, everybody.
Big dog!
Matt, please. We're trying to go to a break.
Big dog!
Matt, please. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Matt Money Smith is with us. And Matt, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but Sarah Fuller was the first woman to play in a NCAA game and the Power Five football game. You know, five schools in the in the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, whatever. But so she kicked off for the team, and then the coach told her, as soon as you kick the ball, you run the F off the field because I don't want to see you get killed out there. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about that last part. She definitely squib kicked, and I don't think. I mean, that tends to happen with most kickers. They're
right.
It's the one position on the team. You know, like the punter tends to be a bigger person and an athlete. The kicker, though, is typically just a specialist. They are, you know, former soccer players like Sarah is, you know, championship level soccer players, and as far as college goes for her. And yeah, they don't want them making tackles. If you're the punter, you're typically thick and you know, you're maybe north of 6 feet, maybe north of 200 pounds, and you can get out there and make a play if you have to. But the kickers, they don't want getting involved. So, and also I think in the case of Derek Mason, he's like, hey, that's the last thing I need. Just, you know, avoiding worst case scenario. She freaking kicks it off and gets trucked by some dude that's blocking. And yeah, so how did that go? Well, didn't go well.
Yeah, she's a quadriplegic.
Yeah, it's a bad scene. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he said that in so many words.
Yeah. Hey, so the Broncos lose all four quarterbacks for Sunday's game, and they're ruled ineligible because of COVID-19. But it's amazing. I mean, from there, do they now have to have somebody on the team that used to play quarterback?
So the way they tried to, there's like a bunch of issues here, right? So one. For people like, well, why did they just postpone it? Well, they didn't postpone it because the Broncos screwed up. Because there's specific protocols that are handed down by the NFL that all teams are supposed to follow, which is if you're inside your meeting rooms, you stay apart by 6 feet, you have ventilation, and you wear your masks. And none of the Broncos did that in the quarterback room. Uh-huh. One of their guys tested positive, Jeff Driscoll. The other three quarterbacks were deemed ineligible.
Wow.
And because they were all in the room at the same time, they're like, look, that's the rules. So you guys are out. And the fact that you don't have another quarterback on your team, figure it out. So they elevated a wide receiver from what's called their practice squad. So a team can carry 15 players that aren't on the active roster of 53 that they can pull from in case something like this comes up. And the guy they pulled up, Kendall Hinton, he was a quarterback in high school. When he got to college, he couldn't beat out the starting quarterback at Wake Forest, so they made him a wide receiver. So he was drafted as a wide receiver, and they were like, well, you played quarterback at one point in your life, didn't you? He's like, I guess so. But I do think the good thing about that, and just for people that didn't get to see it or don't know the story, so he threw 9 passes, okay? He attempted to complete to his receivers 9 passes. His receivers combined – caught one of those 9 passes in an entire game, and over 60 minutes of a game. I don't know what their time of possession was, probably, let's just say, 25 minutes.
Right.
One pass was caught by his guy. 2 passes were caught by the team that he played against. There were 2 interceptions.
I understand why he didn't make the college team.
Yeah. What I think that illustrates, though, and I do think there's like a great lesson to be learned there, here's someone that is so talented, right, that is on an NFL roster to play receiver. He's that good. Right? He's that good of a football player. And, you know, for just like you just said, you know what? I could get a 10 on that hole.
Sure.
For all the guys, like, you know what? You put me out there for one play, I can complete a pass. I can complete a pass. No, you can't. The answer to that is absolutely no, you can't, because this guy plays professional football and he could only go 1 for 9.
That's
and
right.
For 2 interceptions. That's how hard it is to play that freaking position.
Well, they also say if a season, like an all-pro lineman is going up against a rookie linebacker, that rookie linebacker is going to have the worst game of his life, and he doesn't know it yet, because that guy on the other staring down at him knows exactly how to keep his ass off his own quarterback. And he said, "You can have a field day with these rookies."
It's not just athleticism. It's not just strength. It's chess. You know,
right.
Almost everything else is checkers, and football is chess. And that's just the reality of it. It's 11 pieces moving in concert in order to, and you know, best case, when you talk about like, oh, what is it? What is a successful play? It moves 12 feet forward. You know, that's a successful play, that you're able to move forward 12 feet with, you know, 11 guys on the field who on average weight, probably, I don't know, the average weight is probably 230 pounds. Average height is 6'2", 6'3", and you want to just move 12 feet, and that's how hard it is to do that on every single play.
Hey, you know what? I noticed watching the Rams, and I know you don't get to see him as much because you're usually calling the Chargers, but when I'm watching Aaron Donald, he's being held almost every play, and yet the referees very seldom call it. Is there a reason? Because I see it at home. They have to be seeing it there.
Well, I think what they've, and they've really tried to increase, it's such a punitive penalty, right? It's a 10-yard penalty. So they try to only call it, and this was a sort of a league mandate going into this year. Hey, I don't want any more backside holding calls that don't affect the play. Let's stay away from those. They want offense. They don't want defense, right? They want offense in these games. That's what fans come to see. They play fantasy. They love to bet the over, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I think that's part of it, right? Why you don't throw the flag. The other thing is it's much like, well, Shaq gets fouled on every play. Yes, he does. And you can't call a foul on every play. Nobody wants to watch that. So I think that's part of it is they figure out, okay, we'll throw flags on the truly egregious plays. I think it's hard for casual fans to kind of understand what is holding and what's not, because you know you are allowed to engage and get your hands on a guy and try to redirect him. And if look, you grab a jersey or something here or there, that's not that big of a deal. Typically, when they're throwing the flag, is when you get beat. That guy has already passed you, and you got him wrapped up around the neck, or you're pulling on his arm, or you're grabbing that jersey and yanking him backwards. That's typically when they're going to throw it.
I see. But it is, look, it's the greatest game. And I loved yesterday when, you know, your partner, is it RJ? DJ.
DJ. Daniel Jeremiah.
When your partner said this game is over and you said, not quite. There are a lot of people watching this game and this play is going to mean a lot to them.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember saying that at all.
That's great.
And I definitely did not say it that way. I did
right.
I said, well, this play could have some sort of impact on a handful of folks that are listening.
That's a great call, buddy. That's why I listen, dude.
Yeah, well, I appreciate
it. Enjoy the new digs, man. You got out just in time, or in just in time, because, man, everybody's moving to Orange County now. Everybody.
Yeah, well, I wonder why.
Yeah,
I wonder what's going on down here that's not happening anywhere else.
Unbelievable. Buddy, really appreciate you coming on. Giant stud. I'll probably be down in Orange County at some point in the next couple of months, because I don't know how much I can take up here.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to that liquor store on the corner of 5th and Electric. I'm going to buy that Powerball, okay? When I do, we're going to get your house down here, okay, bud? We're going to get you something
that's
down
great,
here.
Man.
Real nice.
And you know what? And now, let's say you do buy the ticket and it hits, and you're like, oh, man, are you going to hold me to that? And I'm like, hold you to what? Like, well, I said jokingly on the air that I was going to buy you a $5 million home in Seal Beach. I'm like, No, you don't have to. And then all of a sudden you get a letter from my lawyer, and you're like, wow, man, this guy's going to put me on the hook.
Exactly. And then you got a knock on the door from Barbara Bullet Wound there in her uncle.
Yeah, she's come back lawyer. Into my life.
She's come back into your life. I heard you were talking about me.
Oh, that's great. Buddy, really appreciate coming on, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
You got it, bud.
All right, thanks, man. All right. There you go.
Same dog!
All right, Matt Money Smith, everybody. Over there on 570 AM, you can catch Petros and Money, the afternoon program, over there on 570 AM. And also, he does the Chargers over the weekend. And it's a great call. It's on 98.7, our sister station upstairs. And it's great to watch the game on TV and listen to those two guys call it. Really, DJ and Matt Money Smith. Really terrific.